Now it's just after 7 o'clock, time for Saturday Night Theatre.
An Enemy of the People by Henrik Ibsen. Translated from the Norwegian by Michael Mayer. With Michael Williams as Dr. Thomas Stockman, John Moffat as his brother, Peter Stockman, Ronald Herdman as Aslaksen, and Ronald Pickup as Hofstra, editor of the People's Tribune. A small spa resort in southern Norway in the spring of 1882. We're in Dr. Stockman's dining room.
There, Mr. Billing. But if you will come in an hour late, we'll have to put up with cold.
Oh, but this is capital. Absolutely capital.
Well, you know how punctually my husband always likes to eat.
Oh, it doesn't bother me. I enjoy eating alone. No.
Oh. Well, as long as you're enjoying it, this must be Mr. Hofstra.
Very likely.
I'll just go and see.
Good evening to you, sister-in-law.
Why, good evening. Fancy seeing you here. How nice of you to come and call us.
I just happened to be passing, so I... Oh, but I see you have company.
Oh, no, that's no one. Won't you have something, too?
No, thank you. No. Good heavens, a cooked meal at night. My digestion would never stand that.
Oh, but surely, just for
once. No. It's very kind of you, but I'll stick to my tea and sandwiches. It's healthier in the long run, and a little less expensive.
You speak as though Thomas and I were spendthrifts.
Oh, no, not you, my dear sister-in-law. Such a thought was far from my mind. Is he at home?
No, he's gone for a little walk with the boys.
I wonder if that's wise, so soon after a meal. Oh, this must be he.
No, I don't think it can be just yet. I'll see.
May I?
Oh, Mr. Hofstra.
Yes, oh, please, excuse me. I was detained down at the printer's. Good evening, Your Worship.
Good evening. I suppose you're here on business.
Partly. About an article for my newspaper.
I guessed as much. I hear my brother is a regular contributor to the People's Tribune.
Oh, yes. He usually drops us a line when he thinks the truth needs to be told about something.
Mr. Hofstra, won't you...
Great heavens, you mustn't think I blame him for writing for the kind of public he's most likely to find sympathetic to his ideas. And besides, I have no reason to bear your newspaper any ill will, Mr. Hofstra.
I should hope not.
On the whole, I think I may say that an admirable spirit of tolerance reigns in our town. A fine communal spirit. And the reason for this is that we have this great common interest that binds us together. An interest which is the close concern of every right-minded citizen.
You mean the baths?
Exactly. Our magnificent new baths. Mark my words, sir. These baths will prove the very heart and essence of our life. There can be no doubt about it.
Yes, that's just what Thomas said.
Really astounding the strides this place has made during the past 2 or 3 years. Buildings and ground rents are increasing in value every day.
Unemployment is going down?
Yes, there's that too. The burden upon the propertied classes of poor relief has been most gratifyingly reduced. And will be still more, if only we have a really good summer this year, with plenty of visitors. What we want most, of course, is invalids. They give the baths a good name.
Well, then, the doctor's article will be most opportune.
Oh, has he written something new?
No, it's something he wrote last winter. A eulogy of the baths and the excellent health facilities of the town. But I decided to hold it over.
There was a snag somewhere?
No, it wasn't there. I just thought it would be better to wait till the spring. Now people are thinking about where to spend their summer holidays.
Quite right, Mr. Hofstra.
Thomas never stops thinking about those baths.
Well, he is employed there.
Yes, and he was the one who really created it all, wasn't he?
Was he? Really? Well, I must say, I was labouring under the delusion that I had had some modest share in promoting the enterprise.
That's what Thomas is always telling people.
Oh, one denies that, Your Worship. I only meant that the idea originated with the doctor.
Yes, my brother's always been full of ideas, unfortunately. But when things have to be done, another kind of man is needed, Mr. Hofstra.
Surely your worship doesn't really...
Do go inside and get yourself something to eat, Mr. Hofstra. My husband will be here at any moment.
Oh, thank you. Oh, just a bite, perhaps.
Help yourself, won't you?
It's extraordinary about people of peasant stock. They never learn the meaning of tact.
But is it really anything to bother about? Can't you and Thomas share the honour as brothers?
Well, I should have thought so, but it seems not everyone is content to share.
Oh, nonsense. You and Thomas always get on so well together. Oh, there he is.
Come in. Hello, Captain.
Oh, hello, my dear.
I have another guest for you here. Come in, Captain Horster. Hang your overcoat up there. Oh, no, of course. You don't wear an overcoat, do you? Fancy, Catherine. I bumped into him in the street. Had the devil of a job persuading him to come back with me.
Good evening, Mrs. Stockman. I hope you don't mind my dropping in.
Run along in now, lads. You know, they're hungry again already. This way, Captain Horster. You're going to have the finest roast beef you ever tasted.
That's most kind of you, really.
Thomas, don't you see he's here?
Peter! Well, it's good to see you.
I'm afraid I can only spare a few minutes.
Rubbish. We'll be having some hot toddy soon. You haven't forgotten the toddy, Catherine?
No, of course not. I've got the kettle on.
Ah.
Hot toddy, too.
Yes, now, sit down. And we'll have a good time. That's if a couple of old fogies like us can have a good time.
Well, really, that's a most extraordinary way to describe us.
Oh, you mustn't take me too seriously, Peter. I feel so happy and exhilarated, you see. So wonderful to be alive at a time like this. I've had to spend all those years in that damn northern backwater, hardly ever seeing a new face that had a stimulating word to say to me. To me, it's as though I've moved into the heart of some pulsing metropolis.
Metropolis?
Oh, I know it must seem small in comparison with lots of other cities, but there's life here. Promise. So many things to work and fight for. And that's what matters. Catherine, hasn't the post come yet?
No, not yet.
And to make a decent living, Peter. That's something one learns to appreciate when one's been living on the edge of starvation as we have.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yes. I can tell you we were often pretty hard-pressed up there, but now we can live like lords. Why, Catherine says I earn almost as much as we spend.
Almost?
Well, a man of science ought to live in a little style. I'm sure any magistrate spends far more in a year than I do.
A magistrate is an important public official.
Well, a wholesale merchant, then. A man like that spends much more.
His circumstances are different.
Joe, it isn't that I'm wasteful, Peter, but I've been living outside the world for so long that I need company. People who are young, bold and cheerful and have lively, liberal minds. And that's what they are. The people who sit in there enjoying a good meal.
Mm.
Do you know, I wish you knew Hofstra a little better.
Which reminds me, Hofstra told me he's going to print another article by you.
An article by me?
Yes, about the bath, something you wrote last winter.
Oh, that's... No, I don't want them to print that now.
Oh. But I should have thought now would be the most suitable time.
Yeah, I dare say it would, under ordinary circumstances.
And what is extraordinary about the circumstances now?
I'm sorry, Peter, I can't tell you that yet. Not this evening, anyway.
You're making it all sound very mysterious. Is there something the matter?
No.
Something I mustn't be told about? I should have thought that I, as chairman of the bar...
And I should have thought that I, as a... Well, let's not start flying off the handle.
Heaven forbid. I'm not in the habit of flying off the handle, as you phrase it. But I must absolutely insist that all arrangements be made and executed through the proper channels. I mean, I cannot permit any underhand or backdoor methods.
Have I ever used underhand or backdoor methods?
You will
methods?
Always insist on going your own way. And that's almost equally inadmissible in a well-ordered community. The individual must learn to fall in line with the general will. Or, to be more accurate, with that of the authorities whose business it is to watch over the common good.
I dare say, but what the hell has that to do with me?
Because that, my dear Thomas, is what you never seem to be willing to learn. But take care. You'll pay for it sometime. Well, I've warned you. Goodbye.
Now, just exactly what do you mean by that?
If you'll excuse me. Goodbye, sister-in-law.
Good day,
gentlemen.
Is he going?
Yes, Catherine. and in a damn bad temper.
Oh, Thomas, what have you done to him now?
Absolutely nothing. He can't expect me to account to him until the time comes.
Account to him for what?
Why the devil doesn't the post come?
Oh, a meal like that makes one feel like a new man. By Jove, yes.
His worship wasn't in a very cheerful mood tonight.
Oh, that's his stomach. He's got bad digestion.
I expect we radical journalists stuck in his gullet.
Yeah, Peter's a lonely man, poor fellow. We must remember that. He has no home where he can relax. Only business, business. Oh, and all that damn tea pours down himself. Well, lads, pull up your chair.
That's right.
Captain, where's that toddy?
Oh, it's just coming.
You sit down here on the sofa with me, Captain Horst.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
You're a too rare guest in this house. Sit. Sit, Chester.
Thanks.
Where are the cigars? You know where the box is, Aleph.
Yes, Father.
Morton, you can bring me my pipe.
Oh, here you are. This is Alec, and this is Rob. And there's the brandy. Now, everyone must help themselves.
Yes, help yourselves, my friend. Help yourselves.
Thank you, Doctor.
That's it.
Thank you.
I must say, it's better to be sitting here warm and relaxed. Well, have you anything salutary to offer us in the People's Tribune tomorrow, Mr. Hofstar?
Well, nothing of local interest. But the day after, I thought of printing your article.
Oh, God, yes, that article. Now, look, you'll have to sit on that.
Oh? Well, we've plenty of space just now. I thought this would be the most suitable time.
Yes, yes, I dare say you're right, but we'll have to wait all the same. I'll explain later.
Good evening.
Hello, Petra, my dear.
Miss Stockman.
Captain Horster. And you're all sitting here having a party while I've been out working.
Well, come and have a party, too.
May I mix you a tiny glass?
Thanks, Mr. Billing. I'll do it myself. You always make it too strong.
Oh.
Oh, Father, I have a letter for you.
A letter? Who from?
Oh, the postman gave it to me just as I was going out.
Why on earth didn't you let me have it before?
I really didn't have time to run back up again. Here it is.
Let me see it, child. Let me see it. Yes, this is it. Excuse me a moment. I must go and read it at once.
What on earth can it be, Mother?
Oh, I don't know. These last few days he's done nothing but ask about the post.
Probably some patient out of town.
Poor Father. Oh, that tastes good.
Well, have you been at evening classes tonight too, Miss Petra?
2 hours.
Oh, and 4 hours this morning at the technical college.
5 hours.
And you've got exercises to correct tonight, I see.
Yes, lots.
You must be very wicked, Petra.
Wicked?
Yes, if you work so much. Dr. Rowland says work is a punishment for our sins.
Oh, stupid. Fancy believing stuff like that.
Now, Ailey.
Well, very good.
Don't you want to work hard too, Morton?
No, not me.
No.
Surely you want to become something.
I want to be a Viking.
Oh, but then you'll have to be a heathen.
All right, I'll be a heathen.
I'm with you there, Morton. That's just the way I feel. You know, before long, we'll all be heathens. You see,
hurry off now, boys. I'm sure you've some homework to do.
Oh, Mother, I can stay a few minutes longer.
No, you can't. Be off the panel.
Good night, everybody. Good night,
boys.
Good
night, Morton. Good night, Ailey.
Do you really think it can do the boys any harm to hear this kind of thing?
Well, I don't know. I just don't like it.
Oh, really, Mother? There's so much fear of the truth everywhere. At home and at school. Here we've got to keep our mouths shut, and at school we have to stand up and tell lies to the children.
Lie to them?
Yes. Surely you realise we have to teach them all kinds of things we don't believe in ourselves.
I fear that is all too true.
Oh, if only I had money. I'd start a school of my own, and there things would be different.
Oh, money.
If you mean that seriously, Miss Stockman, I would gladly let you have a room at my place.
Oh,
my father's old house is almost empty. There's a great big dining room downstairs.
Thank you, Captain Horster. But I don't suppose it'll ever come to anything.
Turn to journalism, Miss Petra. Turn to journalism. Oh, by the way, have you found time to look at that English novel you promised to translate for us?
Not yet, but I'll see you get it in time. Oh.
Here's news that's going to set this town by the ears. What? Believe you me,
news?
Why, what's happened?
A great discovery has been made, Catherine.
What? Really?
By you?
Precisely by me. Now let them say I'm imagining things. Just let them say it.
Father, for heaven's sakes, tell us what it is.
Is it not popularly supposed that our town is a healthy place?
Oh, yes, of course.
A quite unusually healthy place.
Yes.
A place which deserves to be recommended in the warmest possible terms, both for the sick and for their more fortunate brethren.
Yes, but my dear Thomas.
These baths, which have been called the artery of the town and its central nerve and God knows what else.
The pulsing heart of our city is a phrase I once, in a festive moment, ventured to describe.
No doubt. But do you know what they really are? These beloved baths of ours, which have been so puffed up and which have cost so much money, do you know what they are?
No. What are they?
Nothing but a damned cesspit.
The baths.
Oh, that's incredible.
These baths are a whited sepulchre, and a poisoned one at that. Dangerous to health in the highest degree. All that filth up at Merlidal. You know, that stinking refuse from the tanneries has infected the water in the pipes that feed the pump room. And that's not all. This damnable muck has even seeped out onto the beach.
Where the sea baths are.
Exactly.
But how can you be so sure about all this, Doctor?
Yeah. I've investigated the whole thing most thoroughly. Oh, I've long suspected something of the kind. Last year, there were a lot of curious complaints among visitors who come for the bathing. Typhoid and gastric trouble.
Yes, so there were.
At the time, we thought these people had brought the disease with them. But later, during the winter, I began to have other thoughts. So I set to work to analyze the water as closely as I was able.
So that's what you've been toiling at so hard.
Yes, you may well say I have toiled, Catherine. But, of course, I lacked the proper scientific facility. So I sent specimens of both the drinking water and the seawater to the university to have them analyzed by a chemist.
And now you have that analysis?
Here it is. Oh. It establishes conclusively that the water here contains putrid organic matter, millions of bacteria. Oh. It is definitely noxious to the health, even for external use.
By Jove.
What a miracle. You found this out in time.
You may well say that, Catherine.
And what do you intend to do now, Doctor?
Put the matter right, of course.
Can that be done?
It must be done. Otherwise, the baths are unusable, and all our work has been wasted.
Yes, but surely...
But don't worry. I'm pretty sure I know what needs to be done.
But my dear Thomas, why have you kept all this so secret?
Oh, did you expect me to go round the town talking about it before I was certain? Oh, no, thank you. I'm not that mad.
You might have told us.
I wasn't going to tell anyone. But tomorrow... Oh, there's going to be such a to-do in this town, Catherine. You've no idea. The water system will have to be relayed.
The whole of the water system?
Of course, the intake is too low. It'll have to be raised much higher up.
And you were right after all.
Yes, Petra. Do you remember? I wrote protesting against the plans, but no one would listen to me. Well, I've written a full report to the Baths Committee. It's been ready for a whole week. I've only been waiting to receive this. But now I shall send it to them at once. Look at this. 10 foolscap pages, closely written. I'm sending the analysis with it. A newspaper, Catherine. Oh, get me something to wrap these in. Good.
Yes.
There. Now, give it to what that devil's her name? You know, the maid. Oh, tell her to take it straight down to the mayor.
Right, Tom.
What do you think Uncle Peter will say, Father?
What can he say? He must be grateful that so important a fact has been brought to light.
May I have your permission to print a short piece about your discovery in the People's Tribune?
I'd be very grateful if you would.
Yeah, I think it's desirable that the community should be informed as quickly as possible.
Yes, of course.
You'll be the first citizen in the town, Doctor. By Jove, you will.
Nonsense. I've really done nothing except my duty. Oh. I dug for treasure and struck lucky, that's all.
She's gone. Visit now.
Hofstra, don't you think that the town ought to organize a torchlight procession in honor of Dr. Stockman?
Oh, Hofstra,
I'll have a word with Aslan.
No, my dear friends. Oh, please don't bother with that nonsense. I don't want any fuss made. And if the Baths Committee should decide to raise my salary...
Yes, I'm sure they will.
I won't accept it.
Oh,
No. It's no good, Catherine. I won't accept it.
Quite right, Thomas. Skull, Father! Skull!
Skull, Doctor. Here's hoping your discovery will bring you nothing but joy.
Thank you, my dear friends. Thank you. I'm so deeply happy. Oh, it's good to know that one has the respect of one's fellow citizens. Catherine, my love. Let's dance.
Well, is it, is it true?
Why, father-in-law, come in, come in.
I will if it's true. If not, I'll be off.
If what's true?
Well, this nonsense about the water system. Is it true, eh? Well,
of course it's true, but how did you hear about
well,
it?
Well, Petra looked it on her way to school. Oh, and she told me. I thought she was just pulling my leg. But that's not like Petra.
How could you think she'd do a thing like that?
Never trust anyone. That's my motto. You get made a fool of before you know where you are. So, it is true, then?
Absolutely true. Sit down, Father. Isn't it a stroke of luck for the town?
Stroke of luck for the town?
Then I made the discovery in time.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But I never thought you'd start playing monkey tricks with your own flesh and blood.
Monkey tricks?
Now, what was it now? Didn't you say some animals had got into the water pipe?
Yes, bacteria.
Mm, quite a number of them, so Petra told me. Regular army?
Millions, probably.
But no one can see them, isn't that right?
Of course one can't see them.
Devil take me if this isn't the best I've heard from you yet.
What do you mean?
But you'll never get the mayor to believe a tale like that.
Oh, we'll see.
Well, do you think he's that daft?
I hope the whole town will be that daft.
The whole town? Oh, that's perfectly possible. Serve them right. It'll teach them a lesson. They hounded me out of the council.
Oh.
Yes, that's what I call it, for they drove me out like a dog they did. But now they're going to pay for it. You make fools of them, Stockman.
But, Father...
You make fools of them, my boy. If you can put the mayor and his friends out of countenance, I'll give 100 crowns to the poor immediately.
That's very generous of you.
I'm not a rich man, mind. But if you do that, I'll remember the poor to the tune of 50 crowns at Christmas.
Good morning. Oh, am I intruding?
No, Hofstra. Come in, come in.
Oh, him? Is he in with you on this? Hmm?
What do you mean?
Indeed he is.
I might have guessed it. So it's to be in the papers. Yes, you're a card, all right, Stockman. Well, you two put your heads together. I'm off.
Oh, Father, stay a little longer.
No, 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 I'm off. Pull out all the tricks you know. By God, I'll see you don't lose by it.
Imagine, Hofstra. The old man doesn't believe a word I say about the water system.
Oh, so that was...
Yes, that's what we were talking about. I suppose that's why you've come too.
Yes. Can you spare me a moment or two, Doctor?
As long as you want, my dear fellow. Sit down, please.
Thanks. Have you heard anything from the mayor?
No, not yet.
I've been thinking a lot about this since last night.
Yes?
Well, you're a doctor, a man of science. To you, this business of the water is something to be considered in isolation. I don't think you perhaps realize how it's tied up with a lot of other things.
I don't understand you. Well?
You said yesterday that the pollution of the water was the result of impurities in the soil.
Yes, we're pretty certain that filthy swamp up at Murderdal is the cause of the evil.
Oh, forgive me, Doctor. I believe the real cause of all the evil is to be found in quite a different swamp.
Which one?
The swamp in which our whole communal life is slowly rotting.
Damn it, Mr. Hofstra, what kind of talk is this?
Little by little, all the affairs of this town have fallen into the hands of a small clique of bureaucrats.
They're shrewd and intelligent men, by and large.
No. Did they show shrewdness or intelligence when they laid the water pipes where they are now?
No, that was very stupid, of course. Yeah. But it's going to be put right now.
If the press is allowed to use its influence.
It won't be necessary, my dear fellow. I'm sure my brother will...
I'm sorry, Doctor. I intend to take this matter up myself.
In the newspaper?
When I took over the People's Tribune, I did so with the fixed purpose of breaking up this ring of obstinate bigots who hold all the power in their hands.
But you told me yourself what happened as a result. The paper almost had to close down.
Oh, we had to play it easy then. It's true. There was a risk that if these men fell, the bars might not be built. But now we have them. These fine gentlemen have become dispensable.
Dispensable, perhaps, but we owe them a debt all the same.
Oh, that'll be handsomely acknowledged. But a radical writer like me can't let an opportunity like this pass unused. We must destroy the myth of these men's infallibility. It must be rooted out like any other kind of superstition.
Ah, I'm with you there. If it is a superstition, then away with it.
Oh, I'd prefer not to attack the mayor since he's your brother. But I know you feel as strongly as I do that the truth must precede all other considerations.
That's exactly it, Mr. Hofstra. All the same, damn it.
Doctor, This grovelling to authority has got to be stopped. This blunder they've made about the water system is quite indefensible. And that fact's got to be drummed into the ears of every citizen who's got the right to vote.
Very well. If you think it's for the communal good, go ahead. But not till I've talked with my brother.
Well, I'll get my editorial written anyway. And if the mayor refuses to take action...
No, oh, but that's unthinkable.
It is a possibility. And if it should happen...
If it does, I promise you that, yes, you can print my report. Print the whole damn thing.
Is that a promise?
Here it is. Take it with you. Won't do any harm for you to read through it. And you can give it me back afterwards.
Right, I'll do that. Well, goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, goodbye. Don't you worry, Mr. Hofstra. Everything's going to go quite smoothly. Quite smoothly.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Goodbye, Doctor.
Catherine?
Thomas?
Hello, Petra.
Hasn't Uncle Peter come yet?
Peter, no. But I've been having a long talk with Hofstra. He's placed his newspaper at my disposal if I should need it.
But do you think you will?
No. I'm sure I won't. But it's good to know that one has the free press on one side, the mouthpiece of liberal opinion. And earlier this morning, I had a visit from the chairman of the Property Owners Association. You know, Aslickson, the man who prints Hofstra's paper.
Oh? And what did he want?
He's going to support me, too. They're all going to support me if there's any trouble. Catherine, do you know what I have behind me?
Behind you?
The solid majority.
I see. And that's a good thing. Is it?
Of course it's a good thing. How splendid to feel that one stands shoulder to shoulder with one's fellow citizens in brotherly concord.
Good morning.
Oh,
hello,
good morning,
Peter.
How are you?
Oh, thank you, so-so. Thomas, last night after office hours I received a thesis from you regarding the state of the water at the bath.
Yes. Have you read it?
I have.
Well, what do you think?
Come along, Petra. Mother.
Come along.
Was it necessary to conduct all these investigations behind my back?
Well, until I was absolutely certain I...
And now you are?
Yes. Surely you must be convinced.
Is your intention to place this document before the Baths Committee as an official statement?
Of course, something must be done, and quickly...
I find your phraseology in this document, as usual, somewhat extravagant. Amongst other things, you say that all we have to offer our visitors at present is a permanent state of ill health.
Peter, how else can you describe it? That water's poisonous, even if you bathe in it, let alone drink it. And we're offering this to unfortunate people who are ill, and who turn to us in good faith, and are paying us good money in order to get their health back.
And your conclusion is that we must build a sewer to drain away these aforesaid impurities from the swamp at Merledal, and that the whole water system must be relaid.
Can you think of any other solution? I can't.
This morning I called upon the town engineer. In the course of our discussion, I half-jokingly mentioned these proposals as a thing we might possibly undertake sometime in the future.
Sometime in the future?
He smiled at what he obviously regarded as my extravagance, as I knew he would. Have you ever troubled to consider what these alterations you suggest would cost?
Hmm?
According to the information I received, the expense would probably run into several hundred thousand crowns.
Huh. Would it be that much?
Yes. But that's not the worst. The work would take at least 2 years.
2 whole years?
At least. And what do we do with the baths in the meantime? Close them? Yes, we'd be forced to. You don't imagine anyone would come here once the rumour got around that the water was impure.
But, Peter, it is.
There are other towns around with the qualifications to be regarded as health resorts. And do you think they won't start trying to attract the market? Well, of course they will. And where shall we be? We'll probably have to abandon the whole expensive scheme, and you will have ruined the town. It's only as a health resort, a spa, that this town has any future worth speaking of. Now, surely you realize that as well as I do.
But what do you propose we do?
Your report has not completely convinced me that the situation is as dangerous as you imply.
Peter, if anything, it's worse. Or at least it will be in the summer, once the hot weather starts.
As I said, I believe that you are exaggerating the danger. However, In due course, I dare say the committee might not be inflexibly opposed to considering whether, without unreasonable pecuniary sacrifice, it might not be possible to introduce certain improvements.
Then you think I'd lend my name to such chicanery?
Chicanery?
That's what it would be. A fraud, a lie, a crime against the community, against the whole of society.
As I've already pointed out, I have not succeeded in convincing myself that any immediate or critical danger exists.
Oh, yes, you have. But you won't admit it, because it was you who forced through the proposal that the baths and the water pipes should be sited where they are, and you refuse to admit that you made a gross blunder.
Don't
be such a fool. Do you think I don't see through you?
And suppose you're right. If I do guard my reputation with a certain anxiety, it is because I have the welfare of our town at heart. Without moral authority, I cannot guide and direct affairs as I deem most fit for the general good. For this and diverse other reasons, it is vital to me that nothing, not a single word about this unfortunate matter comes to the public ear.
Well, it can't be stopped now, my dear.
It must and shall be stopped.
It can't, I tell you, too many people know.
No, who knows? You don't mean those fellows from the People's Tribune?
The free press of our country will see to it that you do your duty.
You are an exceedingly foolish man, Thomas. Haven't you considered what the consequences of this action may be for you and your family?
What the devil do you mean by that?
Since you have been so indiscreet as to discuss this delicate matter, which you ought to have kept a professional secret, the affair obviously cannot be hushed up. All kinds of unsavory rumors will spread around. It is therefore necessary that you publicly deny them.
I don't understand you.
I feel sure that on further investigation, you will convince yourself that the situation is not nearly as critical as you had at first supposed.
You feel sure, do you?
I also feel sure that you will publicly express your confidence that the committee will remedy any possible defects which may exist.
But you can't remedy the defect by just patching things up. I'm telling you, Peter, unless you start again from scratch, it's my absolute conviction.
As an employee, you have no right to any independent conviction.
No right!
As an employee. As a private person, well, heaven knows that's another matter. But as a subordinate official at the baths, you have no right to express any opinion which conflicts with that of your superior.
I, a doctor, a man of science, the first person to see the town could become a flourishing water place.
The question
I have
is
no
not
right.
merely one of science. The issues involved are both technical and
I
economical.
I don't care how you define the bloody thing. I must be free to say what I think about it.
Well, go ahead. As long as it isn't anything connected with the baths, that we forbid you.
You forbid you? Why, you're just a...
I forbid you. You're superior. And when I forbid you to do something, you must obey.
Peter, if you weren't my brother...
Father, don't put up with this. Petra.
Ah, eavesdroppers.
You were talking so loud, we couldn't help hearing.
I was listening.
Well, I'm not altogether sorry.
You spoke to me of forbidding and obeying.
You forced me to use that term.
And you expect me to publicly swallow my own words?
We regard it as an unavoidable necessity that you issue a statement on the lines I have indicated.
And if I don't obey...
Then we shall be forced to issue an explanation to calm the public.
All right. But I shall write and refute you. I stick to my views. I shall prove that I am right and you are wrong. And what will you do then?
Then I shall be unable to prevent your dismissal.
What?
Father, dismissal?
Dismissal?
Dismissal from your post as public medical officer.
Uncle, this is a disgraceful way to treat a man like Father.
Be quiet, Petra.
So, we've opinions of our own already, have we? But of course, sister-in-law, you seem to be the most sensible person in this house. Use what influence you have over your husband. Make him realize the consequences this will have both for his family and...
My family concerns no one but myself.
For his family and for the town he lives in.
I am the one who has
All
the
he
town.
Is trying to do is to stop up the source of the town's
the
prosperity.
Source is poisoned, man. Are you mad? We live by hawking filth and disease. And all this communal life you boast so much about is based upon a lie.
That's pure imagination, if nothing worse. The man who casts such foul aspersions against the town he lives in is an enemy of society.
You dare!
Don't!
I shall not expose myself to violence. You've been warned. Consider what is your duty to yourself and your family. Goodbye.
My dear.
And in my own house, too, Catherine.
Yes, Thomas. It's a shame and a scandal.
I'd like to get my hands on him.
It's my own fault. I ought to have exposed them long ago. I should have bared my teeth and used them. Calling me an enemy of society. By God, I'm not going to take that lying down.
But Thomas, dear, might is right.
I'm the one who's right.
What's the good of being right if you don't have the might?
Mother, how can you speak like that?
Catherine, just give me time. You will see. I'm going to fight this war to the end.
Yes, and the end will be that you'll lose your job.
If I lose my job.
What about your family, Thomas? Your home.
Mother, don't always think only of us.
It's easy for you to talk. You can stand on your own feet if need be, but think of the boys, Thomas. The boys. What's to become of them?
Catherine, I want to be able to look my sons in the eyes when they grow up.
Father's right, Mother. He mustn't give in.
Oh, my God, Dorcas.
I say.
Have you read it?
I should say I have.
Pretty forceful, isn't it?
Forceful? He'll butcher them, by Jove. Every paragraph's a knockout.
These fellows won't give in at the first blow, though.
That's true. As I sat in there reading this, it was as though I saw the revolution dawning from afar.
Shh, don't let Aslaxon know.
Aslaxon's a coward, a jellyfish. He hasn't the guts of a man. But you'll have your way. I mean, you will publish the doctor's article.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, unless the mayor backs down.
Yeah, well, that'll be a damn nuisance.
Whichever way it turns out, we can exploit the situation. Quiet. Doctor! Oh.
Print away, Mr. Hofstra.
So it's come to that.
Hurrah!
Yes, it's come to that, all right. Well, now they shall have it the way they want it. It's war now, Mr. Billing.
War to the death, I hope. Oh, give it to them, Doctor.
This report is only the beginning. My head's already teeming with ideas for 4 or 5 other articles. Where's Aslaxon?
I'll get him. Aslaxon, come here a moment.
I'll come in, Mr. Billing.
Well, Mr. Hofstra, what do you think of my report?
Yeah, I think it's an absolute masterpiece. Mm. Clear, to the point. You don't have to be a specialist to follow the argument. I tell you, you'll have the whole town behind you.
Well, then, I don't think we need be afraid to print it.
I should damn well hope not.
It'll be in tomorrow morning.
Good God, yes, we can't afford to waste a single day. Mr. Aslaxon, you must take charge of this manuscript yourself.
If you wish.
Treat it as though it was gold. No misprints. Every word is important. I'll drop back later. Perhaps you'd let me look at a proof. I can't tell you how eager I am to see this thing in print. Launched.
Launched, yes, like a thunderbolt.
All those skimpers and compromisers have got to be thrown out. We need fresh standard bearers, my friends. Mm. Young men. Oh. Our advanced posts must be manned by new captains.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as we proceed with restraint, I don't think there can be any danger.
Hell cares about danger? I'm doing this in the name of truth and my conscience.
Yeah, you're a man who deserves support, Doctor. Yeah.
Yes, the Doctor's a true friend of the town, that's certain. I'll go further. He's a friend of society.
By Jove, Mr. Aslaxon. Dr. Stockman is a friend of the people.
Thank you, my dear. Good friends, thank you.
My brother described me in vastly different terms. By God, I'll give it back to him with interest. Now I must go and see a poor devil of a patient, but I'll be back. Take good care of that manuscript, Mr. Aslaxon.
Ah, yes,
and for
yes.
Heaven's sake, don't cut out any of the exclamation marks. If anything, put in a few more. Good, good. Well, indeed. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye, my dear friend.
He's going to be bloody useful to us.
As long as he sticks to the baths. But if he tries to go farther, we'd be unwise to stay with him.
Yeah, that all depends.
You're such a damn coward, Aslaxon.
Coward? Yes, when it's a question of fighting local authorities, I am a coward, Mr. Billing. But elevate me into the field of high politics, confront me with a government, and then see if I'm a coward.
No, I'm sure you're not, but that's why you're just so inconsistent.
Because I know my responsibilities as a citizen. Throwing stones at the government can't harm society. It doesn't bother those fellows. They stay put. But local authorities can be overthrown. And then you may get inexperience at the helm, with disastrous results for property owners.
But we need new people at the helm.
And you, Mr. Billing. You ought to put a reef or two in your sails if you want that job of clerk to the council.
You, Billing?
Well, of course, I only applied for it to put their backs up, you understand.
Well, it's no business of mine, of course, but I'd be careful if I were you.
Couldn't we change to some other printer, Hofster?
Well, do you know anyone else who'd give us credit?
Ever thought of trying Dr. Stockman?
Yeah, what would be the use of that? He hasn't a bean.
No, but he's got his father-in-law behind him, old Morton Keel. The fellow they call the Badger.
Do you really think he's got much?
Oh, by Jove, of course he has. And part of it must go to the Stockmans. He's bound to provide for, well, the children, anyway.
Are you banking on that?
Banking? I never bank on anything.
You'd better not. And don't bank on becoming clerk to the council either, because I can promise you won't.
Do you think I don't know? Not to get it is just what I want. A snub like that puts you on your mettle. It gives you a fresh supply of gall, and you need that in a backwater like this where hardly anything really infuriating ever happens.
Yes.
I'll be...
Well. Come in. Oh, Miss Petra, come in. Well, hello. Fancy seeing you here.
Please forgive me.
Won't you sit down?
No, thank you. I'm only staying a moment.
Is it something from your father?
No, something from me. Here's that English novel.
Why are you giving it back to me?
I don't want to translate it.
But you promised.
I hadn't read it then. You can't have either.
No, you know I don't understand English, but...
Exactly. That's why I wanted to tell you. You'll have to find something else to serialize. You can't possibly print this in the People's Tribune.
Why not?
Because its theme is that there's a supernatural power which takes care of all the so-called good people in this world and works things so that in the end everything turns out well for them and all the so-called bad people get punished.
Yes, well, that's all right. That's just what people want to read.
But do you want to be the one who provides it for them? You know quite well it doesn't happen like that in real life.
Yeah, well, of course not, but... Well, an editor can't always do as he wishes. One often has to bow to people's feelings in minor matters. If I want to win people over to my views about freedom and progress, I mustn't frighten them away. We journalists aren't worth much, Miss Stockman.
In the ordinary run of events, perhaps not. But now, when you've taken up such an important cause, now surely you must feel you're worth more than most men.
Yes. Yes, today I do feel a bit like that.
It's a wonderful vocation you've chosen, to be able to pioneer neglected truths and brave new doctrines. The mere fact of standing fearlessly forth to defend a man who's been wronged.
Especially when this man who's been wronged is, how shall I say?
When he is a man of such honour and integrity.
I was about to say, especially when he's your father. Yes, Petra. Miss Petra.
Is that what seems important to you? Not the issue itself? Not the truth? What? Or the fact that this means everything to Father?
Yes, of course. Those things too.
No, Mr. Hofster. I see you now for what you are. And I shall never believe you again about anything.
Does it make you so angry that I've done this for your sake?
I'm angry because you haven't been honest with Father. You've been talking to him as though truth and the good of the people were what mattered most to you. You're not the man you've been pretending you are. And that I'll never forgive you, never.
You shouldn't speak so sharply to me, Miss Petra, least of all just now.
Why not now?
Because your father needs my help.
That's the sort of man you are.
Oh, no, no, no. Look, I didn't mean that. Please, believe me.
Well, I know what to believe. Goodbye.
Oh, my God, sake, Mr. Hofstadter.
What?
There's the book. You can give it to someone else.
Miss Petra.
Goodbye.
Mr. Hofstadter, listen,
what?
Please.
What?
The mayor's standing out there in the composing room.
The mayor?
Yes, he wants to talk to you.
He came in the back way.
Didn't want to be seen, I suppose.
What can he want? No, I'll find out for myself. Now keep a lookout and make sure no one disturbs him.
Of course.
Your worship.
You weren't expecting to see me here.
No, frankly, I wasn't.
And here I am, coming along and making demands on your time.
Oh, not at all, sir. What can I do for you? Won't you sit down?
Yes, thank you. Something extremely irritating has happened to me today, Mr. Hofstadter.
Really? Well, of course, your worship has so many responsibilities.
This particular matter concerns the medical officer at the baths.
Oh, the doctor?
He's written a sort of report to the baths committee regarding some supposed defects in the baths.
You amaze me.
Oh, hasn't he told you? I thought he said...
It's true, he did say something.
I have that manuscript.
Right, there on the desk.
Oh, good.
Why, surely that's it.
Yes, this is the doctor's article, your worship.
Oh, is this what you were talking about?
The very thing. What do you think of it?
Well, of course, I'm not a specialist. I've only glanced through it.
But you're going to print it.
I can't very well refuse a signed contribution.
I have no say in the contents of the paper, your worship.
No, of course not.
I only print what's put into my hands.
Absolutely.
So, if you'll excuse me...
No. Wait a moment, Mr. Isaacson. With your permission, Mr. Hofstadter.
Of course, your worship.
Now, you're an intelligent and discriminating man, Mr. Isaacson.
Oh, I'm glad your worship thinks so.
And a man of wide influence in more circles than one.
Oh, mostly among humble people.
The small taxpayers are the most numerous here as elsewhere.
Yes, that's true.
And I've no doubt you know how most of them feel, don't you?
Yes, I think I might say I do, your worship.
Well, then, since the less affluent of the citizens of this town are so laudably disposed to make this sacrifice,
What sacrifice?
It's a fine token of public spirit, a remarkably fine token. I was about to confess I hadn't expected it. But you know the mood of the people better than I do.
But your worship...
And it will probably be no mean sacrifice that the ratepayers will be called upon to make.
The ratepayers?
But I don't understand. Surely the shareholders...
According to a provisional estimate, the alterations that the medical officer at the baths regards as desirable will cost some 200,000 to 300,000 crowns.
What?
That's a lot of money.
He shall, of course... be forced to raise a municipal loan.
You surely don't mean that the ordinary citizens are going to
You mean you charge it on the rates? Empty the pockets of the tradespeople?
Well, my dear Mr. Isaacson, where else is the money to come from?
Oh, that's the business of the gentlemen who own the baths.
The committee cannot see their way towards authorizing any further expenditure. If the people want all these comprehensive alterations, then the people themselves will have to pay for them.
But good God Almighty, I beg your worship's pardon, but this puts a completely different face on the situation, Mr. Hofstadter.
Yeah, it certainly does.
And the worst of the matter is that we shall be compelled to close the baths for 2 to 3 years.
Close them? You mean close them completely?
But good heavens... How are we property owners to live in the meantime?
I'm afraid that's a very difficult question to answer, Mr. Isaacson. But what do you expect us to do?
Well,
I mean, do you imagine we shall get a single visitor here if we start spreading the idea that the water is contaminated? That we are living over a cesspit? That the whole
and
town...
And all is... this is just pure speculation?
With the best will in the world... I have been unable to convince myself that it is anything else.
But if that's the case, it's monstrous of Dr. Stockman to have... Look, I beg your worship's pardon, but...
No, I deplore your observation, Mr. Isaacson, but I'm afraid it represents the truth. My brother has unfortunately always been an impulsive man.
And you still want to support him in this action, Mr. Hofstadter?
Who could... Possibly.
I have written a brief resume of the situation as it appears to an impartial observer. and in it I have suggested how any possible flaws in the existing arrangements could safely be remedied by measures within the financial resources at present possessed by the Baths.
Oh, have you that document with you, Your Worship?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness, there he is.
Who? My brother?
Where?
Where? He's just coming up the street.
Oh, dear, most unfortunate. I don't want to meet him here. And I've something else I wanted to speak to you
about.
Yeah,
go in here till he's gone. There's only Billing there.
Oh, quick, quick, Your Worship. He's coming here.
Oh, very well, but get rid of him as soon as you can.
Mm, yeah. Find something to do, Alex.
Yes. No proofs, by the sound of it. No. Surely you didn't think they'd be ready yet.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just impatient, as I know you'll appreciate. I can't rest till I've seen that thing in print.
It'll be a good time, yes. Won't it, Eslickson?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, very well, my dear friends. I'll be back later. I don't mind making the journey twice if need be.
I'm here.
Oh, you here too, Mrs. Stockton?
What the devil do you want here, Catherine?
Surely you can guess.
Well, why don't you sit down?
Thank you, no. It's not right for you, Mr. Hofstadt, to persuade my husband to leave his house and home and trick him into involving himself in all this.
I haven't tricked anyone.
You think I allow myself to be tricked?
That's just what you do, Thomas. You have more brains than anyone in this town, but you are very easily tricked. Don't forget he'll lose his job at the Baths if you print that thing he's written.
What?
Doctor,
just let them try. Oh, no, Catherine. They'll watch their step. You see, I have the solid majority behind me.
Yes, that's just the trouble. They're an ugly thing to have behind you.
Rubbish, Catherine. Truth and the people will win this battle, never you fear. Oh, I can see every liberal-minded citizen. What the devil is this?
Oh, dear.
The crown of authority.
The mayor's hat.
And his marshal's baton, too. How in the name of hell...
Well...
Oh, I see. He's been here to talk you over. Oh, he came to the wrong man. And then he saw me in the office. Did he run away, Mr. Aslickson?
Oh, yes, Doctor. He ran away.
Ran away, leaving... Rubbish. Peter never left anything behind in his life. Where the devil have you put him? Yes, of course. In there. Now, Catherine, you watch.
Oh, Thomas, I beg you, please.
Don't do anything rash, Doctor.
My dear Peter.
What is the meaning of this disorderly scene?
A little more respect, if you please, my dear Peter. I am the supreme authority in this town now.
Thomas, please.
Take off that hat, I tell you. Remember that that hat is an official emblem.
Rubbish. Do you think the awakening lion of public opinion is going to let itself be frightened by a hat? We're starting a revolution tomorrow, I'd have you know. You threatened to sack me, but now I'm going to sack you. Sack you from all your positions of responsibility. I have as my allies the conquering forces of social revolution.
Who, for instance? Mr. Hofstra?
No, Your Worship.
Mr. Hofstra isn't so mad as to ruin himself and his newspaper for the sake of an hallucination.
What the devil...
You have presented your case in a false light, Doctor. Therefore, I cannot support you.
No. After what His Worship has had the grace to tell me in there, I cannot support you.
Lies! I'll answer for the truth of my report. You just print it. I shouldn't be frightened to defend it.
I'm not printing it. I can't. I won't. I dare not.
Dare not?
It.
What nonsense is this? You're the editor, and it's the editors who rule the press.
No, Doctor. It's the subscribers.
Fortunately.
It's public opinion, the educated reader, the property owners, and so forth. They're the ones who rule the press.
And all these forces arranged against me.
They are. If your report got printed, it would mean ruin for the entire community.
I see.
My hat and stick, please.
There.
Your little reign didn't last long.
Oh, it isn't over yet. You refuse absolutely, then, to print my report in the People's Tribune, Mr. Hofstra?
Absolutely. Oh, out of consideration for your family, if for no other reason.
Never you mind his family, Mr. Hofstra.
You won't find a printer to take it anywhere in this town.
This will give the public full possession of the facts. It's an official statement, Mr. Hofstra.
Oh,
Right. I'll see it set up at once.
But not mine. Well, I'll see the contents are made known all the same. I'll summon a public meeting and read it. All my fellow citizens shall know the truth.
You won't find anyone in this town who'll lease you a hall for such a purpose.
Not one. I'm sure of that.
By Jove, you won't.
This is disgraceful. Why have they all turned against you?
I'll tell you why. It's because in this town all the men are old women. Like you, they just think of their families and not of the community.
Then I'll show them that an old woman can be a man. For once, I'll stand by you, Thomas.
Well said, Catherine. The truth shall be told. By God, it will. If I can't lease a hall, I'll hire a drummer to march through the town with me, and I'll read it out at every street corner.
You can't be so crazy as to do that.
I am.
You won't find a man in the whole town who'll go with you.
No, by Jove.
Don't you give in, Thomas. I'll ask the boys to be with you.
Oh, that's a splendid idea.
Morton will love it, and so will Ed, if I'm sure.
Yes, and Petra too, and you, Catherine.
No, not me. But I'll stand at the window and watch you. I'll do that.
Oh, thank you. Well, my fine gentlemen, let the trumpets sound. Let's see whether meanness and mediocrity have the power to gag a man who wants to clean up society.
We'll just see.
Now he's driven her mad, too.
Skipper Evanson said he'd bring a bloody red horse. Excuse me, please, gentlemen. Can I get through, please? I'm reporting the meeting for the People's Tribune. Thank you.
I thought you might sit here, Mrs. Stockman, and you and Miss Stockman over here. You can slip out easily if anything should happen.
Do you think there'll be trouble?
One never knows with a crowd like this. But sit down.
Thank you.
And don't worry.
Yes?
It was very kind of you to offer my husband this room, Captain Horst.
Well, no one else would, so I...
It was brave of you, too.
Oh, that didn't call for much courage.
Hasn't the doctor arrived yet?
He's waiting in the next room.
Oh. Ah, there's the mayor, see?
Ah, yes, by Jove, so he's come after all.
Ah. Here's Stockman.
How do you feel, Catherine?
I'm all right. Now, don't lose your temper, Thomas.
Oh, I'll control myself, don't you worry. It's 4:15, so I'll begin.
Ladies and gentlemen,
surely a chairman ought to be elected first.
No, there's no need for that.
Yes, I really think we should have someone in the chair.
But, Peter, I've called this meeting to deliver a lecture.
The doctor's lecture may possibly give rise to divergent expressions of opinion.
We'd like a chairman! Public opinion seems to demand a chairman.
Very well, let public opinion have its way.
Would his worship, the mayor, be willing to undertake that function?
For reasons which I'm sure you will appreciate, I must decline that honour. But fortunately, we have among us a man whom I think we can all accept. I refer to the chairman of the Property Owners Association, Mr. Isaacson.
If my fellow citizens want to express their trust in me, I won't refuse their call. Now that I stand here, may I crave permission to say a few brief words? Experience in the school of life has taught me that the most valuable virtue for any citizen is
restraint.
I would therefore suggest to our respected fellow citizen who has summoned this meeting that he endeavour to keep himself within the bounds of temperance.
Three cheers for the Temperance Society!
No interruptions, gentlemen, please. Does anyone wish to say anything before
Mr. Chairman?
Your worship.
As everyone here is doubtless aware, I have close ties of relationship with the present medical officer at the Baths, and would consequently have preferred not to speak this evening. But my official position on the committee of that organization and my anxiety for the best interests of the town force me to table a resolution. I hope I may assume that no citizen here present would regard it as desirable that dubious and exaggerated allegations concerning the sanitary conditions at the baths should circulate outside this town. I therefore move that this meeting refuse the aforesaid medical officer permission to read or dilate upon his theories concerning the matter in question.
Refuse permission? What the devil is...
In my statement to the People's Tribune, I have acquainted the public with the essential facts, so that every intelligent citizen can form his own judgment. Amongst other things, I pointed out that the medical officer's proposals will burden the ratepayers with the unnecessary expenditure of several 100,000 crowns.
Order, please, gentlemen. I beg leave to second his worship's motion. So, I shall now put his worship's resolution to the vote.
Don't bother. I won't say a word about those damn baths. Have I the floor?
Dr. Stockman has the floor.
A few days ago, if anyone had tried to gag me like this, I'd have fought like a lion for my sacred human rights. But now that doesn't matter. Now I have more important things to talk about. I'm going to make a mighty revelation to you, my friends. I'm going to tell you about a discovery that is infinitely more important than the fiddling little fact that our water system is poisoned and our health baths sited above a... This great discovery that I have made during these last few days is that all our spiritual sources are poisoned, and that the whole of our vaunted social system is founded upon a cesspit of lies.
I must request the speaker to moderate his language.
I was born here and loved this town. But for years, as you know, I lived in a dreadful backwater far up in the north. When my luck changed and I was able to return, I vowed to work with all my heart and soul for the welfare of my home and my community.
You've a strange way of showing it.
I went around here reveling blindly in my newfound happiness. But yesterday morning... It was the previous night, actually. My eyes were opened, and the first thing that greeted them was the stupendous imbecility of the authorities.
As chairman of this meeting...
No, let's not start quibbling about words, Mr. Aslickson. I only mean that I suddenly realized how really revoltingly our politicians have behaved down there at the baths. I can't stand politicians. They're like goats in a plantation of young trees. They destroy everything. I'd like to see them rooted out and exterminated like other vermin.
Mr. Chairman, our top calumnies to be permitted.
Dr. Stockman.
I can't understand why I'd never had a proper look at these gentlemen before. I'd had a prime example right in front of my eyes all the time. My brother Peter, procrastinating and purblind.
Quiet, please.
But if anyone imagines from what I've just said that I've come here this evening to crucify politicians, he's wrong. Quite wrong. They aren't the ones who are most active in poisoning the sources of our spiritual life. It isn't they who are the most dangerous enemies of truth and freedom in our society. Don't worry, I'll name them, because this is the great discovery I've made today. The most dangerous enemies of truth and freedom are the majority. Yes, the solid, liberal, bloody majority. They're the ones we have to fear. Now you know.
As chairman, I call upon the speaker to withdraw those mischievous observations.
Never, Mr. Aslickson. It's the majority in this community that is depriving me of my freedom and trying to forbid me to proclaim the truth.
Right, the majority is always right.
And speaks the truth.
The majority is never right. Never, I tell you. That's one of those community lies the free-thinking men have got to rebel against. Who formed the majority, In any country, the wise or the fools? I think we'd all have to agree that the fools are in a terrifying, overwhelming majority all over the world. But in the name of God, it can't be right that the fools should rule the wise. Yes, yes, you can shut me down, but you can't say I'm wrong. The majority has the power, unfortunately. But the majority is not right. The ones who are right are a few isolated individuals like me. The minority is always right. I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste words on a little flock of short-winded sheep puffing along in the rear. Life has nothing left exciting to offer them. But I'm thinking of the few, the individuals amongst us, fighting for truths which are still too new to man's conscious mind to have any majority behind them.
Oh, I see. So you've become a revolutionary.
Oh, yes. Yes, Mr. Hofstra, by God, I have. I intend to start a revolution against the lie. The truth is a monopoly of the majority. For it's the masses, the mob, this damned majority that's poisoning the sources of our spiritual life and contaminating the ground we walk on.
Hey, let me tell you, I come of simple peasant stock, and I am proud that I have my roots deep down in the mob whom you deride.
Oh, the kind of mob I'm talking about isn't only to be found at the bottom of the barrel. Oh, it swarms all around us, even among the high peaks of society. Just look at your own smug, sleek mare. My brother Peter's as good a mobster as ever walked in two shoes.
I protest against these personal insinuations.
Because he thinks what his superiors think, and his opinions are the opinions he's heard them express. The men who do that are spiritually of the mob. And that is why my noble brother Peter is so frighteningly unaristocratic in all essentials, and consequently so terrified of all things liberal.
Mr. Chairman.
So, it's the aristocrats who are the liberals in this country. What a really new discovery.
Yes! That's part of my discovery, too. And I say it's quite indefensible of the Tribune day after day to proclaim the false gospel that the masses have a monopoly on liberality and morality, and that vice and corruption and every kind of spiritual filth are a kind of pus that oozes out of culture, just as all that beastly stuff in the bath oozes down from the tanneries at Mooreyard. That culture demoralizes is an old inherited fairy tale. No, it's stupidity, poverty, and foul living conditions that do the devil's work. In a house where the rooms aren't aired and the floor swept every day, people lose the capacity for moral thought and moral action. Lack of oxygen debilitates the conscience. And there's a shortage of oxygen in many, many houses in this town. If the whole of this damned majority can be so devoid of conscience as to want to build the prosperity of their own town on a quagmire of deceit and lies.
You can't cross-select as I feel like that against the whole community.
Yes, it sounds as though you wish to destroy this town.
Yes, I love this town where I was born so dearly that I would rather destroy it than see it flourish because of our lies.
The man who can want to destroy a whole community must be a public enemy.
A community that lives on lies deserves to be destroyed. All those who live by lies ought to be exterminated like vermin, or they will end by contaminating the entire country.
Talking like an enemy of the people!
As a citizen and as a human being, I'm deeply shocked by what I've had to hear.
Dr. Stockman has shown himself in his true colours. I move that this meeting declares the medical officer at the baths, Dr. Thomas Stockman, an enemy of the people!
Before he shakes the dust of this town from his feet. I'm not so forgiving as a certain person. I don't say I forgive ye, for ye know not what ye do.
That comparison's a blasphemy, Dr. Stockman.
It is by God.
I've found another stone, Catherine.
Oh, you'll find a lot more yet.
I shall keep these as sacred relics.
Here's a letter for you, Thomas.
Oh, give it me.
Who's it from?
The landlord. He's given us notice to quit.
Is he really? He seems such a decent man.
He is very sorry, but his fellow citizens, respect for public opinion, certain obligations, dare not offend certain persons of influence.
There, Thomas, you see?
Yes, yes, I see. They're all cowards in this town. None of them dares do anything for fear of the others. Ah, but we don't have to worry, Catherine. We're off to the new world now.
Do you really think it's a good idea, this going away?
Am I to stay here when they've pilloried me as an enemy of the people, branded me, broken my windows? And just look at this, Catherine. I tore my trousers, too.
Oh, no, and they're your best.
Yeah. One should never wear one's best trousers when one goes out to fight for freedom and truth.
Oh. Petra, are you back from school already?
I've got the sack.
The sack?
You too?
Mrs. Busk gave me notice. She said she dared not do otherwise. So, I got the sack.
Well, we won't go on living in this jungle any longer. Pack the bags as quickly as you can, Catherine. The sooner we get away from here, the better.
Now, hush, I think there's someone in the hall. Go and look, Petra.
Oh, it's you, Captain Horster.
Good morning.
Please, come in.
I felt I had to come along and see how everything was.
Thank you. It's extremely good of you.
How did you manage to get home again?
Oh, I managed. Those fellows bark worse than they bite.
Yes. Isn't it amazing what wretched cowards they are? Well, when do you sail, Captain?
That was what I came to talk to you about, as a matter of fact.
Why? Something happened to the ship?
No, it's just that I shan't be going with her.
They surely haven't given you the sack.
Indeed they have.
You too.
There, Thomas, you see.
And just because I spoke the truth. Oh, if I'd ever dreamed that such a thing could happen.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll find a job with the company somewhere else. What I wanted to say, Doctor, was if you still want to go, I've thought of another way.
Fine, as long as we can get away quickly.
Oh, Hush, wasn't at the door?
I think it's Uncle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now, Thomas, dear, do promise me.
Oh, you're engaged. I'll come back later.
No. Please come in.
I wanted to speak to you privately.
We'll go into the living room. Come along.
And I'll come back later.
No. You go in, too. I want to know more about that.
Right. I'll wait, then.
I regret that it didn't lie within my power to prevent those nocturnal extravagances last night.
Did you come out here to tell me that?
I have a document for you from the directors of the baths.
Am I dismissed?
From the date of writing. It distresses us, but frankly, we had no choice. Public opinion being what it is, we didn't dare.
Didn't dare? I've heard that word before today.
My advice would be that you should leave town for a while.
Yes, I'm thinking of doing that.
Good. Then when you've had 6 months to think the matter over, you might, after mature consideration, possibly reconcile yourself to issuing a short statement admitting your error and expressing your regret.
And then you mean I might get my job back?
It's not unthinkable.
But what about public opinion? You daren't offend that.
Public opinion is very fickle. And quite frankly, it's important to us that you should publish some such admission.
Never, I tell you, never.
A man with a family has no right to act as you're doing. And as a man of the world, I would advise you not to put too much trust in expectations that might so easily not be fulfilled.
What on earth are you talking about?
You seriously expect me to believe that you don't know that a considerable proportion of Morton Kill's money is earmarked for your children, and that you and your wife will be able to enjoy the interest for the rest of your lives? Hasn't he told you?
Indeed, he has not. On the contrary, he's done nothing but complain how disgracefully overtaxed he is. Are you quite sure of this, Peter?
I have it from an impeccable source.
But, good heavens, that means Catherine's future is secured. And the children's too, forever.
But that's just what it isn't. Morton Kill can revoke that will any day or hour that he chooses.
But he won't, my dear Peter. The Badger's much too delighted at the embarrassment I caused to you and your worthy friends.
So, that's the explanation.
What do you mean?
The whole thing has been a conspiracy. These violent and unprincipled accusations, which you've levelled against the authorities in the name of truth, were simply your price for being remembered in that vindictive old idiot's will.
Peter, you are the lowest bastard I have ever met in all my life.
Things are finished between us now. Your dismissal is final. Now we have a weapon against you.
The filthy... Damn! Catherine, scrub the floor behind him. Get her to bring in a bucket. That girl, the devil's her name? The one who's always got a dirty nose.
Father,
Thomas,
Father, Grandfather's here and says, can he speak to you privately?
Yes, of course. Come in, Father. Well, what is it? Sit down.
No, I won't sit. Nice and cozy it looks here today, Stockman.
Yes, doesn't it?
Very nice. And fresh air, too. Yes, you got plenty of that oxygen you were talking about last night. And your conscience feels pretty good today, I suppose?
Yes, it does.
Thought it would. Do you know what I've got here?
Shares in the baths.
Yes, they weren't hard to come by today.
You mean you've been out and bought...
As many as I could afford.
But my dear father-in-law, the state those baths are in now...
If you act like a sensible man, you'll soon have them on their feet again.
You see for yourself I'm doing all I can, but I can't...
You said last night that the worst of the filth comes from my tannery. Do you think I'm going to let an imputation like that hang over my head?
I'm afraid it looks as though you'll have to.
No, thank you. I value my name and reputation. People call me the Badger, I'm told. And the Badger's a dirty beast, isn't it? Well, you're going to make me clean, Stockman. Do you know what money I've used to buy these shares with? It's the money Catherine, Petra and the boys are going to inherit when I'm gone. I've managed to put a little aside, you see.
You mean you spent Catherine's money on this?
Yes, and it's all invested in the baths. So now we'll see if you're really as daft as you pretend, Stockman. Every time you say there's vermin coming out of my tannery, it'll be as though you were cutting a pound of flesh from your wife's body and Petra's and the boys.
Why couldn't you have come and spoken to me before you went out and bought all this waste paper?
Actions speak louder than words.
If only I wasn't so sure. But I know I'm right.
If you persist in this lunacy, these shares won't be worth much.
Oh, but damn it. Science must be able to find some way A preventative or a purifier or something.
You mean something to kill these vermin?
Yes, or render them harmless.
Couldn't you try rat poison?
No. Why did you have to put me in this frightful predicament? When I look at you, I feel as though I was looking at the devil himself.
Then I'd best be off. But I want your answer by 2 o'clock. If it's no, I'm giving these shares to the old folks' home. And I'll do it today.
And what will Catherine get then?
Not a farthing. Well, look whom we have here.
What the devil? Do you two still dare to visit me? Hoster? Aslaksen?
Aye, indeed we do.
We've something we want to talk to you about.
Yes or no, Stockman? By 2 o'clock.
Well, what do you want? Make it short.
Why didn't you tip us off, Dr. Stockman? You only needed to drop a hint to Mr. Hofstra or me.
Hint? About what?
Why you were doing it.
I don't understand.
Oh, yes, you do, Dr. Stockman.
There's no need to keep it secret any longer.
What the devil?
Forgive the question, but isn't your father-in-law going round the town buying up all the shares in the bar?
He has bought some today, yes. Mm.
You'd have done wiser to employ someone else, someone not quite so close to you.
And you shouldn't have done all this under your own name. Nobody need have known that the attack on the baths came from you. You ought to have taken me into your confidence, Dr. Stockman.
Is it conceivable? Could such a thing really be done?
Apparently. Oh, but it ought to be done with a certain subtlety, you know.
And there ought to be more than one person in on it. A man doesn't have so much responsibility to bear if he's in partnership.
In brief, gentlemen, what do you want?
Well, it's just this, really. That now we know how the land lies, we think we might venture to put the People's Tribune at your disposal.
You think you dare risk it? But what about public opinion? Aren't you afraid we might cause a storm?
Oh, we shall have to ride that storm.
But you'll have to be quick on the trigger, Doctor.
You mean as soon as my father-in-law and I have got all the shares cheaply?
It is, of course, principally in the cause of science that you are seeking to gain control of the bar.
Oh, of course. It was in the cause of science that I got the old badger to come in with me on this. Mm. And then we'll tinker a bit with the water system and do a little digging on the beach, and it won't cost the ratepayers a crown. I think we'll get away with it, don't you?
Think so. If you have the People's Tribune behind you.
In a free society, the press is a power to be feared, Doctor.
Oh, quite. But, gentlemen, I blush to mention the matter, but what consideration...
Of course, we'd like to help you absolutely gratis,
absolutely.
But the People's Tribune is going through an awkward period. I'm very reluctant to wind things up just now when there are such splendid causes that need our support.
Of course. That'd be a bitter pill for a friend of the people like you to have to swallow. But I am an enemy of the people. Huh? Where's that stick of mine? What the devil did I do with that stick?
What do you mean?
I'm thinking of...
And suppose I do give you a penny of my shares. We rich men are pretty close with our money, you must remember.
And you must remember that this little business of the shares would bear more than one interpretation.
Yes, that'd be right up your street, wouldn't it? If I don't come to the aid of the People's Tribune, you'll misrepresent my motives. You'll start a witch hunt, drive me to the ground, and throttle the life out of me as a hound throttles a hare.
That's the law of nature. Every animal has to fight for survival, you know.
Now, by heaven, we'll see. Which is the strongest animal of us?
What? Dare assault us.
Oh, be careful.
Go out of that window, will you, Mr. Hoffman?
Get you out, sir.
No, mind. Get to that window, Mr. Aslaksen. Jump out of you, don't dare.
Oh, doctor, restrain yourself. I'm a weak man. I can't stand it. Jump,
I tell you. Down into the gutter.
Provoked assault. I call you the witness, Captain Hoster.
Take control.
Damn it. They got away after all.
But what did they want?
I'll tell you later. I've other things to think about just now. Look at this, Catherine. What do you see here?
No. No, no. Well, what does that mean?
I'll explain that later, too. Here, Petra, tell that smutty-nosed girl to run up to the badger with this as quickly as she can. Hurry.
Very well.
If I haven't had all the devil's messengers after me today, I really don't know who's left. But now I'll sharpen my pen against them until it's like a dagger. I'll dip it in gall and venom. I'll fling my inkstand against their stupid skulls.
But Thomas, we're leaving. She's taken the letter.
Good. Leaving, you say? No, by God, we're not. We're staying here, Catherine.
Staying in this town?
Yes, this is the chosen battlefield, and it's here that the battle must be fought, and it's here that I shall win. As soon as you've sewn up those trousers of mine, I'll go into town and look for a house.
I can let you have mine.
Would you?
Of course. I have plenty of rooms, and I'm hardly ever there.
Oh, Captain Horster. Oh, how kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, there's so much to be done. But luckily, I'll be able to devote my whole time to it. Look at this. I've been sacked from the baths.
Ah, well, I was expecting that.
And they want to take away my practice, too. All right, let them. At least I'll keep my poor patients. They're the ones who can't pay. Well, heaven knows they're the ones who need me most. But by God, they'll have to listen to me. I'll preach to them morning, noon and night.
Oh, Thomas, Thomas, surely you've seen what good preaching does.
You really are absurd, Catherine. Am I to allow myself to be chased from the field by public opinion and the majority and such fiddle-faddle? No, thank you.
Oh, the boys. Have you been given a holiday today?
No, but we had a fight with the other boys in the break.
No, no, that's not true. It was the other boys who fought with us.
Yes. So I said to Dr. Rowland I thought it would be better if we stayed at home for a few days.
I've got it. By heaven. I've got it.
Neither of you shall ever set foot in that school again.
Not go to school.
No, Thomas.
Never, I say. I'll teach you myself. Of course, you won't learn a damn thing.
Hooray!
But I'll make you free men. Aristocrats. Petra, you'll have to help me.
Yes, Father, of course.
And we'll hold the school in the room where they branded me as an enemy of the people. But we need more pupils. I must have at least 12 to begin with.
No, you won't find them in this town.
We shall see. Do you know any street urchins? Real gutter snipes?
Oh, yes, Father, I know lots.
That's fine. Get hold of a few for me. I'm going to experiment with mongrels for once. They have good heads on them sometimes.
But what shall we do when we've become free men and aristocrats?
Then, my boys, you chase all those damned politicians into the Atlantic Ocean.
Let's hope it won't be the politicians who will chase you out, Thomas.
Oh, are you quite mad, Catherine? Chase me out now when I'm the strongest man in town.
The strongest?
Yes.
No.
I'll go further. I am now one of the strongest men in the whole world.
Hooray! Hooray!
You mustn't talk about it yet. But I've made a great discovery.
Oh, not again.
Yes, yes. The fact is, you see, that the strongest man in the world is he who stands most alone.
Oh, Thomas. Father.
Oh. Oh, Thomas.
In An Enemy of the People by Henrik Ibsen, translated from the Norwegian by Michael Mayer, Michael Williams was Dr. Thomas Stockman, John Moffat, Peter Stockman, and Ronald Pickup, Hofster. Jane Wenham played Mrs. Stockman, Deborah Makepeace, Petra, David Timpson, Billing, Ronald Herdman, Aslickson, David Garth, Morton Keel, and Edward D'Souza, Captain Horster. The two boys, Aelif and Morton, were played by Susan Sheridan and Elizabeth Lindsay. The townspeople were Andrew Branch, Richard Durden, Michael Hadley, David Lerner, Sean Prendergast, Eric Stavell, Avril Clark, Sheila Grant, Garrard Green, Peter Howell, and George Parsons. An Enemy of the People was adapted and directed by Gordon House.